The following message is a presentation of the Sun Life Radio Network.
Open your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 8. The great book of Acts, chapter 8. The word of the Lord, beginning in verse 14, says, "Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus," or in the Greek, "by the authority of the name of the Lord Jesus." In verse 17, "Then laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost." In a few minutes, we're going to lay hands on people, and they're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And those of you watching, those of you listening, though you're not here in the sanctuary, the river that is flowing here is flowing right where you are. And it doesn't matter if you're by yourself in the house and you think there's no one here to lay hands on me. Oh, I'm here to tell you, the Lord Jesus Christ will lay hands on you and you'll receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit. My message is entitled, "Seven Steps to Receiving the Infilling of the Holy Spirit." You know, one of the major reasons why people don't get filled is that no one simply takes the time to explain to them how one is filled. Seven steps to receiving the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Would you bow your heads? Father, we come before you in the name of your Son, Jesus. We thank you for all of your goodness and your graciousness, but most importantly, we thank you for the moving of the Spirit that we have sensed, that we have felt this morning. We need the river to flow. Let it flow into this sanctuary. Let it flow into every home that's watching, every automobile, however they're receiving this telecast. Let the river flow right where they are. And we give you all the praise and glory. And Lord, we ask this morning that not only in the building, but those that are watching, that many will be baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And we give you all the praise and all the glory. And everybody said amen and amen. I was just in Phoenix, Arizona last weekend preaching at North Valley Assembly of God. And we had a wonderful meeting. Great meeting. Many people responded for salvation. But Sunday night, as we ministered on the Holy Spirit, it was about 30, 35 people that came forward. And I'm not going to say all, but as far as I could see, everyone was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And if it wasn't, it was only one or two. I mean, it was a great moving of the Holy Spirit. But that Sunday morning after the service, an elderly lady came up to me, and she said, "Brother Swaggart, you really probably won't remember me, but do you remember many years ago you came to Phoenix and you preached at another Assembly of God church? And it must have been 10, 12 or more years ago." And I said, yeah, I do. I'd kind of forgotten about that, but I do. She said, "Do you remember a lady that came up to you and said, 'I am the one, I am the minister to the deaf people'?" We had several deaf in that congregation. And "do you remember me coming up to you?" And I said, "You know what? Now, yeah, I remember this." And she said, "Do you remember when I asked you, the question I asked you?" And I said, "Remind me." She said, "We have several deaf individuals here, and there's some that they've told me you've been announcing that you're going to be praying for people to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And though they can't speak, they would sign to me and they would ask, 'Can we be filled?' And if you remember, I came up to you and asked you that if those that were deaf, they could not hear, could they be baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues? And you looked at me and you never wavered in your answer. You said, 'Absolutely, 100%. And she said, "No one had ever told us that. And I can't imagine anybody telling anyone, no matter the handicap, that God cannot baptize
baptize them in the Holy Spirit. It is a supernatural work. It is beyond the realm of man's thinking and man's power. Everything the Lord does on this earth is through the person of the Holy Spirit. Everything he does in your life is through the power, the person, the manifestation, the operation of the Holy Spirit. There is no church without the Holy Spirit. The church was founded in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. And if the first church is Pentecostal, then every church today should be Pentecostal. If Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Paul, Silas, if they had to have the anointing of the Holy Spirit, how much more do we, in the time that we live, do we need the anointing and the help and the power and the person of the Holy Spirit? And she said, I ask you, do you really believe God can fill a deaf person with the Holy Spirit? Someone not only deaf but dumb cannot speak. I said, absolutely. She looked at me that day, last Sunday morning, and she smiled, and she said, if you remember, two men that were deaf came up. I said, yeah, I remember that now. She said, both of them got filled. And then she said, and here is one right here, as she stepped out of the way, and there stood a man in his late 70s. And she said, she began to sign. He was one of the ones that got baptized in the Holy Spirit. That he began to sign to her, and she said, he wants to tell you that his life has never been the same since. And he said that every single day of his life since that Sunday many years ago, a day does not go by that he does not lift his voice, and it flows out of him clear, flowing river as he begins to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. Listen, the work of the Holy Spirit is the work of the supernatural. What we cannot do, he can. He has the power to do anything. Hallelujah. God forbid that we try to put a limit on the supernatural working of God. Hallelujah. He's God. If he wants a donkey to speak in tongues, a donkey will speak in tongues. Well, that's already true for some people I know. That was the bad Donnie. The 8th chapter of the book of Acts gives us a great story, a great account of the early church. Verse 1 tells us in chapter 8 that great persecution began to come against the early church in Jerusalem. Now we have to ask the question, and we have to answer it, as to why did persecution come? Number one, God allowed it. Now, did you hear what I said? God allowed the persecution to come. Why? Very simply, they were in disobedience. In Acts chapter 1, when the Lord told the disciples to go to Jerusalem and tarry and wait for the promise of the Father, he said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and Judea. Now, they were fine with that. But then he said, and to Samaria and in the uttermost parts of the earth, meaning the Gentile world. They didn't like that. And so when the Spirit fell, the church was born. First thing we find out is that it's not just a few people that got saved. There were thousands that were a part of the very first church. Now, they couldn't meet in cathedrals like this. They couldn't do it. They had to meet outside. They'd meet out in the woods and people's homes and whatever. But there was literally, there's a good possibility that the early church in Jerusalem had as many as 50,000 members. But yet, they had refused to obey the command of the Lord to take this great message and go beyond Jerusalem and Judea. Listen, You've got to understand something this morning. Jesus Christ did not die on Calvary and shed his blood and pour out the Holy Spirit just for a select few, but everything that he did was for the entirety of the world. That's one reason why the Lord has raised up Sun Life Broadcasting Network. That's one reason why this church is still here. We want to reach Baton Rouge. We want to reach Louisiana, but God has called us far beyond the city limits of Baton Rouge. Our parish is the whole wide world. Hallelujah. Now you got to understand something. God's will is going to be carried out one way or the other. Now we can delay the will of God because of disobedience, but we cannot stop the will of God. And if he has called or spoken to a heart to do something and they don't do it, he'll find somebody else. He will find somebody else that will carry out his command. And this persecution came, and the Bible said that they were scattered abroad. Well, before I finish that, there's no prejudice and bias like religious prejudice and bias. Matter of fact, religion is the greatest evil on planet Earth. Religion is worse than communism. It's worse than socialism. It's worse than drugs or alcohol. Well, how can you say that? Because false religion always promises a way of salvation apart from the Word of God. And you've got more people, let's just take America, you got more people in America bound by false religion than by drugs and alcohol combined, who think they're going to heaven because they were born this, born that, or they go to this church, they do this, they do that. No, there's only one way of salvation. And it's according to the Word of God, which means it's repentance by faith, and then grace is extended only because of what Jesus Christ did at Calvary. So in Jerusalem, they had grown insular. I like that word, insular. I'll give you the definition. That word insular means to be uninterested in cultures or people outside of a particular nationality or geographic location. In other words, they were saying, we're Jews. We don't want any Gentiles in our church. This is ours. We don't want anybody else. Sad to say, you got churches like that in America. You still got churches in America, and this blows my mind. If you're a person of color, they don't want you there. Hello? If you're not of a certain socioeconomic standing, they don't want you. If you don't drive a Mercedes-Benz, they don't want you. But I got news for you. The true church of the Lord Jesus Christ does not care about the color of your skin, what kind of car you drive, what clothes you wear, how much money you have or don't have in your bank account. The true church of the Lord Jesus Christ is made up of all people, of all nationalities, of all color, of all socioeconomic standing. And besides, how boring would church be with a bunch of white people? Who can't clap on beat? They can't dance. I was preaching at the largest African-American Pentecostal church in Washington, D.C. And you've never been to church until you've been to church with 3,500 tongue-talking African Americans. All the women wear hats. The bigger, the more holy. And in the black church, they always judge how good a service was by how many hats they pick up off the floor. And man, I love it. The only problem is they don't know how to tell time. They just keep going and going and going and going and going and going. And I walked down the platform and I started preaching, and I mean, the Spirit of the Lord started moving, and I was sweating like a pig. It was no air conditioner. It was middle of summer, and the air conditioner wasn't adequate for the people. And I remember they had some ladies dressed like nurses. And I'm like, is there a nursing school nearby? And I even asked somebody, I said, what are all these nurses for? They go, oh, well, they're not real nurses. They're Holy Ghost nurses. I said, what do you mean? She said, well, you know, when some of our saints get to shouting, and if they fall out in the spirit, they make sure that something's covering them up. Hello? Hello? And then I noticed before, that right in the center section, the whole center section, it was all young men. No women, young men in 20s. They're dressed to the nines. I said, what are all these guys? They're a part of our Bible school. They have to sit there every Sunday. This is a part of their classroom instruction. I said, I like that. And I got to preaching. I was preaching on the Holy Spirit. And I mean, I preached everything the message was. My hair was soaking wet. My shirt was sticking to me. Sweat was rolling down my legs. My shoes squished when I walked. I was getting tired. And I said, I got to finish. And all of a sudden, right off to the left, one of the dear old saints, she must have been about 85. She slowly pushed herself up. She said, no, you're not through. You got some more to say, and we want to hear it. And she said, white boy, you're preaching. You're preaching. You're preaching, white boy. Keep preaching. I said, yes, ma'am. And I just started back to preaching. And I kid you not, the Spirit of the Lord hit that building. I'm not exaggerating. Those young men that were sitting, they started standing on the pews. They were standing on the pews. They took out their handkerchiefs. I'd never seen this before. And they all... And I never had this. Somebody on the platform, I'm preaching, and I turn around, there's somebody with a towel just stuck it in my face. I didn't wear glasses then. And they just, like, wiped off. And I'm like, what in the world? But that morning, I mean, scores came down that aisle and got baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking. Oh, hallelujah. So, I mean, you know, there's got to be a representation of every race. And if you have a church that certain people are not welcome, you need to close the doors and go pump gas. You're not a preacher and you're not a church. They didn't want Gentiles. To the Jewish mind, Gentiles were second class. Matter of fact, they were called dogs. In the Hebrew of that day, the word dog, the title dog, had three connotations, three meanings, depending on the context and when it was used. It can mean a literal dog. Number two, homosexual. Number three, Gentile. Matter of fact, a devout Hebrew of that day, when he would start his day, he would pray this prayer. He would say, oh, Lord in heaven, I thank you today that I am not a dog, a Gentile dog, and I'm not a woman. Because in the Hebrew culture of that day, women were also second-class citizens. In the true church, the male and the female are equal in the eyes of God. There's no place in the church for male chauvinism. Hello. We got too many male chauvinists in the church. I mean, God can't use a woman. If he can use a donkey, he can use anybody he wants. Who are we to say who God uses? If one refuses to carry out the will of God, God's going to lift his hand. That hedge that's around you, he's going to let it come down. And God had given them the command to go out. They refused. They were comfortable with their group. They didn't want any Gentile dogs coming in. They didn't want to rub shoulders with Gentiles. And so the Lord said, okay, you don't want to carry out my will the right way? I'll just lift the hedge of protection. And the moment he lifted that hedge, persecution came against the church. Oh, now I have no doubt the devil thought, man, I'm scattering the church everywhere. But the scripture on that 8th chapter also said they were scattered abroad, and everywhere they went preaching the gospel. Oh, hallelujah. Let me tell you, persecution is not bad for the church. Persecution can be good for the church. Now, you don't go praying for persecution. Hello, if you do, you're crazy. But if you look through church history, every time great persecution came against the body of Christ, there was always a great outpouring of the Spirit. Because you see, what happens is this. When persecution comes, the first thing that happens is the dead weight. The hanger-ons, the looky-loos, those there that are spectators, but they don't participate. When the persecution comes, they fall by the wayside. And then up comes the remnant that is left, men and women of God that says, I don't care what the king says. I don't care what Parliament says. I don't care what the government says. We will not bend the knee. We will not bow. We will only serve one master. Jesus Christ is his name. We wouldn't have the King James Bible if it wasn't for persecution. We wouldn't have many of the great freedoms that we have if it wasn't for persecution that came against the church in Europe in bygone days. The Great Reformation came out of persecution. The Second Great Reformation came out of persecution. In this country, the First Great Awakening came out of persecution. The Second Great Awakening came out of persecution. And I got news for you. There's going to be a Third Reformation. There's going to be a Third Great Awakening, because my Bible says, in the last days, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. Hallelujah. Persecution is good. Because when it comes, people have nothing left but to seek the Lord. Did you hear what I said? They had nothing to hold on to but Jesus Christ. Persecution separates the wheat from the chaff. Verse 5 then says, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria. The key word there is then. He wasn't going until then, what? The persecution came. But the persecution forced him out of Jerusalem. And then, I would just rather obey the Lord and not have a then. Hello? Some of you will get it about 3 o'clock this morning. And the Bible said he went down and he preached. Now let's look for a moment at his message. Philip, the Bible said, he preached Christ unto them, meaning that he proclaimed Jesus Christ as the Messiah, God manifested in the flesh, one born of a virgin who died on the cross to atone for the sins of mankind. And on the third day, he rose again to live victorious over death, hell, and the grave. He preached the gospel. He preached the gospel. He didn't preach somebody's book report.
They didn't have computers then, but if they did, he didn't download his sermon from the computer. You know, I read the other day that certain religious websites that have sermon outlines, that on Saturday nights between 8 and 12, some of them crash because so many preachers are trying to download their sermons. If you got to download a sermon, you're not a preacher. God hasn't called you. You've got no business being behind the sacred desk. We don't get our messages off of a computer and somebody's website, but we get the word of the Lord. We get messages by our prayer, our study of God's word, our seeking his face. Lord, what do you want me to preach? What do you want me to say? How do you want me to present it? And I got to help you here. I don't really care what you want to hear. I'm not in the least bit interested. We're never going to pass out a survey saying, what do you want us to preach on? Could care less what you want to hear. Could care less what you want to hear. I want to preach what God wants to say. Whether the people like, listen, if they all walk out, we still need men of God that will not compromise the message and will preach the word of God. And if they all leave, he'll give us somebody. He'll raise up a group of people. He preached Christ. Then the Bible said miracles took place. Unclean spirits were cast out. Means demon-possessed people. Those spirits came out of them because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. As a child of God, if you're saved and baptized in the Holy Spirit, you've got the power of God running through you. You don't need to go find some preacher somewhere to lay hands on somebody. You can lay hands on themselves and or yourself and pray for people to be healed. You can cast out demon spirits in the name of Jesus. You can say yourself, get thee behind me, Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. You've got the power inside of you. Oh, I love this. The lame walked. The blind received their sight. Signs and wonders took place. And I love this thing. It said, and then it said, oh, I love this, I love this. And there was great joy in the city. The gospel brings joy. I said the gospel brings joy. The gospel will bring life where there is death. The gospel will bring light where there is darkness. The gospel will bring hope. It will bring peace. Whatever you need is found in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And any city, any country that recognizes that and allows the gospel to be preached, their people are the happiest people on earth. You know, they did a poll the other day. They didn't have to do a poll. They could have just called me. They did a poll, and they said that of all the people that identified themselves as a born-again Christian, they were the happiest people in the United States of America. They didn't take as many pills for depression. They didn't whine. They didn't complain as much. And I'm looking at it and I said, can't somebody recognize this? Can't somebody recognize this? There might be something you need to pay attention to. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the answer for every single problem that... Let me tell you, we've had the gospel over and over and over in America, but it's time that the other nations of the world had an opportunity to hear what we have heard, and they're going to hear it through Sun Life Broadcasting Network. We're going to take that message forth. Then verses 14 through 17, this is all my introduction. States that when Philip got through preaching and he went back to Jerusalem, he told the leaders of the early church what had happened among the Gentiles of Samaria. And the Bible says that they immediately sent Peter and John back down to them to preach on the baptism of the Holy Spirit and to pray for the new converts to be filled with the Spirit. Now, why didn't Philip preach the message of the Holy Spirit? There's been much debate and speculation, but I think I have the answer. I think I know why God wanted it to happen that way. I think that he didn't move upon Philip to preach on the Holy Spirit, but then they would have to send Peter and John to show us today of the importance that the Lord places on his children being baptized in the Holy Spirit. He didn't move upon them to go to all that work just because it was some nice little goosebump feeling, but he was showing us that the infilling of the Holy Spirit is so valuable that he sent Peter and John back to them to preach the power of Pentecost. And the Bible said he laid hands on them and they were filled. Hallelujah. Can somebody shout on that? They were baptized in the Holy Spirit. I don't have time to go through all the Holy Spirit, but I just want to say this. Pastors, preach on the Holy Spirit. Pastors, pray for believers to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Pastors, lay hands on your people and pray them through to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Listen, we got too many preachers that belong to Pentecostal denominations that have never preached one sermon on the baptism in the Holy Spirit. They've never laid hands on one person to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. They've never seen one individual filled with the Holy Spirit under their ministry. If you call yourself a Pentecostal, if you're ordained through a Pentecostal denomination and you won't preach on the Holy Spirit, you won't teach on the Holy Spirit, you won't pray for people in your church to be filled with the Spirit, you won't allow the moving and the operation and the gifts of the Spirit, you need to get out of the Pentecostal church and go join some other organization and quit lying. Oh, I got a song about that. This is what I can't sing, but if I could sing, I'd sing it to him. Hit the road, Jack. And don't come back no more, no more, no more. Hit the road, Jack. We don't need you. We need men and women that have been touched by the power of God, that know how to preach on the Holy Spirit. They don't care. Listen, I could care less what people say about me. I had somebody write me, this is how dumb some people are. Sent me an email and said, you shouldn't use the term Pentecostal. It has such negative connotations. I answered her. I said, dear moron, I really didn't. But I thought it. And more than that, I wrote back and I said, I could care less what you think. I'm not ashamed to be identified as a Pentecostal. I've told you that, but I told him in that email, I said, I want you to know I'm Pentecostal from the top of my head to the sole of my feet. My suit is Pentecostal. My shoes are Pentecostal. My socks are Pentecostal. I'm married to a Pentecostal wife. I got 3 Pentecostal children. I got 8 Pentecostal grandchildren on the way. 3 already baptized in the Holy Spirit. I preach at a Pentecostal church. I'm part of a Pentecostal ministry. And when Boudreaux was still alive, I had a Pentecostal dog. Hallelujah. I'm Pentecostal. I'm Pentecostal, and I'm not ashamed to say it. I still believe in dancing before the Lord. I still believe in shouting. I still believe in people running. But people get in the flesh. Yes, they do. Of course they do. But it's no big deal. You just handle it afterwards. You just say, hey, that wasn't the Spirit. And I just want to add this one to it. If you like to run, do not run with your eyes closed. Right here. In this church. In the balcony. Many years ago. Jam-packed camp meeting. choir, somebody was singing. I mean, the Spirit of the Lord was just moving. People were standing up, people shouting, there's people dancing. Oh, let me just stop right there. Some, you make fun of dancing, but you know what dancing is? Every time you shout, you know, every time you pick up your foot, you're saying the Lord is able. Every time you put the foot down, you're saying the devil is defeated. Every time you pick your foot up, you're saying glory to God. Every time you put your foot down, you're saying greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Every time you pick you up, you're saying I'm saved by the blood of the Lamb. My name is written in the Lamb's book of life. And every time you put your foot down, you're saying devil, you couldn't have me. The chains were broken and I'm a child of God. Hallelujah. We need more shouters in the church. And people were running. People were shouting. And it was all full. And all of a sudden I looked up and one man right there, front row. One man right there, front row, took off running. And see, there's a big aisle up there. You don't, you can't see, but there's a big aisle in front of those front. They took off running. I'm sitting right there and I'm going, oh God, I hope their eyes are open. Oh Lord. Oh Lord, please open their eyes. Open their eyes. Oh Lord, please open their eyes. Because I could tell they were shut. And I just watched them. And they met perfectly in the middle, right behind where David Pons is sitting, who's mixing the house sound. They collided face to face, nose to nose. They hit each other so hard, they bounced back. They hit the floor, and nothing happened. You didn't see them. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, we got two broke noses. We're going to have blood all over the floor. It's then all of a sudden, you would see one hand. And they'd get about halfway up, and they'd fall down. Then finally, they got up, and I'm not exaggerating. When they got up, they were going, clearing the cobwebs. Then all of a sudden they looked at each other. I kid you not. They grabbed each other. They hugged each other. And then they took back to running. Oh, hallelujah. Listen, we've got something to run about. We got something to shout about. We were on our way to hell, but Jesus reached down and picked us up out of the miry clay. I'm not ashamed to run. I'm not ashamed to shout. We're Pentecostal. It would do some of you good. It would cure your arthritis and dance before the Lord. All right, that's my introduction. I have doubts about anyone who, when they think about what the Lord has done in their life, that there's not some type of emotional response. We're not talking about a matter-of-fact deal here. You were on your way to hell. You were bound by drugs. You were bound by alcohol. You were bound by immorality. You were bound by hate. The devil had a coffin with your name on it. But somehow the Holy Spirit penetrated. That darkness was around you. And the light of the gospel was presented to you. And you got saved. You gave your heart to Jesus. And you, when you start telling that, there's got to be a response. There's got to be a hallelujah. There's got to be a praise the Lord. There's got to be, would you just mind me a moment? I need to go cry and thank the Lord. I always ask people, how'd you get saved? And if they can stand there and tell me, like, they're talking about the weather, something's wrong. Something's wrong. Something's wrong. Because once you've been lost, but now you're found. Once you've been blind, but now you can see. All right, 7 steps. This is my altar call. I'm going to give you the instructions before you come down. The 7 steps to receiving the infant of the Spirit. Number one, you must be born again. The unsaved cannot receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will not occupy an unclean vessel. Number two, you must decide in your own heart and mind that this mighty experience, which is a second and distinct work of grace. I had another guy write me who didn't believe in time. He said, you keep saying it's a second work of grace. I've never heard of a second work. What are you talking about, a work of grace? I said, brother, everything Jesus did is the work of grace. You must decide in your own heart and mind that it is scriptural. There can be no double-mindedness. There can be no battle in your mind and heart. You've got to settle it in your own mind that this is for today. That what we read in Acts 2, Acts 8, Acts 9, Acts 10, Acts 19, what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14, when he said, I thank my God, I speak in tongues more than you all. And then he said, forbid not to speak in other tongues. You've got to settle it in your mind that is scriptural. It's in the Bible. And I don't base what I believe on my experience or your experience, but what the Word of God has to say. And if Jesus had to have the help and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, for the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me, how much more do we need him? Number three, singers, musicians, make your way around. You must have faith. Everything we receive from the Lord comes by faith. When you got saved, you didn't understand all the particulars of redemption. But somehow in your heart and mind, you came to the realization as the Spirit of God moved upon you, I'm a sinner. I'm lost. I'm miserable. And then you accepted Jesus Christ. You did it by faith. You can't buy it. You cannot earn it. You can't work for it. It is a gift of grace. So too is the infilling of the Holy Spirit. It is a gift from God. And when it's a gift, you don't have to beg for it. Hello? It's a gift. Faith just reaches out and takes it and claims it. Everything you see on this campus, every building, it was built by faith. Everything we've done. I had a brother call me Friday. We talked on the phone for over an hour. And he, like me, he's multi-generation Pentecostal. He's a little bit younger than me, but God is using him. He's an evangelist. And he was asking some questions about the ministry, how this happened. I just said, brother, you got to understand something. We don't have a 5-year plan. We don't have a 3-year plan. We don't have meetings and sit down and say, what do we do next? No. Everything you see around here and everything we've done is as the Spirit moved. Listen, when Dad went on radio in 1969, everybody said, you won't make it. Not one person said, you can do it. First of all, back then, there was only 2 or 3 Christian radio stations in America owned by Pentecostals. All the rest were owned by non-Pentecostals who didn't like Pentecostals. Secondly, and this is the one that chaps my hide. I won't say where, but it's a certain city in the Midwest. They got all bent out of shape because we didn't write to headquarters and ask for permission. I ain't asking permission of anybody to do anything that the Lord has told me to do. I do not answer to a presbyter, to a district superintendent, to a general superintendent. I answer to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And those offices, and I know I'm going to get hate mail, those offices are man-made offices. They are not spiritual offices. Anything that man votes on is not spiritual. Now, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with organization. There's nothing wrong with being in a denomination. You got to have organization, you got to have structure, you got to have. But when they begin to supersede the Word of God, that's when it's wrong. And we actually had people, superintendents write us, say, who told you you could put a radio program in my state? How moronic. Then when we started on television in 71, you can't do it. Can't do it. Back then, there were only two full-time nationwide, Oral Roberts, Rex Humbard. Can't do it. Robert Shuler was on, but he was only on Southern California. It'd be another year or two before he went nationwide. But you can't do it. It can't happen. This is the argument that they gave us. First of all, you're a Southerner. You say, y'all. How y'all doing? Well, I got news for you. American by choice, Southern by the grace of God. I am a proud Southerner. I like my buttermilk biscuits, mashed potatoes and gravy, corn, sweet tea. Come on, I'm getting hungry. Fried chicken. I was an adult before I found out that chicken wasn't a part of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Because when I was growing up, we drove traveling around, kid you not, we were traveling from church to church to church. And in some of those days, they would stick us in people's houses. That was hell. I love you. I don't care if you live in a 50-room mansion. I am not staying in your house. I've been there, done that, and got plenty of T-shirts. And they would take you to people's houses, different houses every day to cook. We went to one meeting, and I kid you, we had chicken 27 times. We had fried chicken. We had baked chicken. We had chicken zucchini. We had raw chicken. We had tough chicken. Chickens on steroids. We had baked chicken. We had dry chicken. We had greasy chicken. We had chicken fricassee. We had chicken with weird stuff all over it that I still don't know what it is, and I'm not sure what I was eating. When I left home when I was 18 to go off to college. I never was back home. I've been on my own since then. When I left for college, I said, nobody's going to ever tell me what I have to eat. I'm going to eat what I want to eat. I hate vegetables. If it's green, I ain't eating it. You see, you know I'm Southern. I ain't. Then he's Southern. Then they said he's too emotional because he cries sometimes when he preaches. Then they said, you can't give an altar call. These were preachers. Nobody. And then after a couple of years, the Lord began to deal with dead and say, take the program, TV program, 30 minutes, record it in a studio. We started in the old channel 33 when it just opened up on Segan Lane. It's now over here. It was terrible. Then we went down to WWL New Orleans. It was terrible. Then we wound up in Nashville 7 years, WLS, where you remember the TV program, Hee Haw? Same people. The director of Hee Haw was the director of our program. The cameraman, same thing. And it was better, but the Lord said, no, take it out of the studio. Start televising the crusades. And go from 30 minutes to an hour. I mean, the letters, the phone calls, preachers, by the every call. You can't do this. You can't fill up an hour. Nobody has enough content to fill up an hour. And I'm like thinking, well, if you got the Holy Ghost, he's got the content. Hello? You can't do it. And you can't show these crusades. It's just, you got cables all over the floor. You got walking back and forth, sweating. How uncouth for a preacher. I'm getting rid of them babies pretty soon. I'm having my lens taken out of my cornea.
and a new one put in. I'm sweating. Something's wrong with a preacher if he says he can preach and he walks out and he hasn't broken a sweat. They said, you can't do, you got all that live music, you got this, you got that. You can't do that. I remember Rick Motter, who was over our sound. Rick was taken from us at an early age as he passed. He was a big teddy bear, strong as an ox, but he put together all of our sound equipment for the Crusades, and he was a member of the union here and the Teamsters. And when we were not in Crusades, he would get hired when there were big projects. He'd go to the Superdome, work ball games. He was a rigger. He could do just different things. So he got a call and said, we need you to come down to New Orleans to the Superdome. He said, okay, what is it? He said, it's the Rolling Stones. So he goes, and he was, like I said, he was a member of the Teamsters. When he got there, they said, you're the senior Teamster official, so you're in charge of the Teamsters, so you have to deal with the management of the Rolling Stones. You're the one that deals with the man. So he said, I was dealing with their manager. And he said, after the show, he said, you know, that's when the manager, right, checks, pays off this, pays off that. And so he said, who do I go to get paid? And they said, not me. I don't pay the bills. Mick does. Mick Jagger. He signs off on everything. So he said, I walked into his dressing room after the show. I said, I'm with the Teamsters. Here's our statement. He goes, you live here in New Orleans? Well, I can't mimic a British accent unless they say y'all. He goes, no, sir, I live in Baton Rouge. He said, do you do this for a living? No, I don't. What do you do for a living? I run sound for Jimmy Swaggart. He went, Jimmy Swaggart? Yeah. You work for Jimmy Swaggart? Yeah. I like that program. I like that music. He said, I like all them chords all over the platform. My goodness, they work. Oh, I got to hurry. I got to shut up. I got 5 minutes. I got to hurry up. But everybody said, everything, when we started the network, you can't do it, you can't do it, you can't, you can't, you can't, you can't. There's always the weepers, the mourners, the wailers, and those that say you can't. But thank God, Dad heard from the Lord, and what he said earlier is basically what he said. Get out of here. Get out of here. All the naysayers, get out. God said, do it. We're going to do it. And the proof is in the pudding, baby. I got to hurry up. You must not fear. You don't have to be afraid of opening yourself up in the supernatural world. Luke 11, verses 11 through 13. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he for, or if he shall ask for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall our heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? You don't have to fear. What to expect? You're to expect when you come down here and we lay hands on you, you'll begin to feel something flowing deep inside. It's utterances. It's language that you do not know. You've got to expect that. And you will sense it moving from your innermost being up until your vocal cords. And here's where the faith comes in. You open your mouth, and by faith, you begin to speak what you sense and feel. I like to say it this way. You start it. He finishes it. You must yield. That simply means that if you come down here and you take the attitude, the Lord knows I want to be filled, so he'll make me speak in tongues. No, you will leave unfilled, because the Lord never violates the will of the individual. If he could force you, he would force everyone in the world to be born again. But he does not do that. He only works in yielded vessels. And last, simply receive. Just receive it. It's a free gift. Just receive it. Bow your heads. Father, we come before you in the name of your Son, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Lord, we're asking right now that the river would flow. Let that river flow not only in Family Worship Center, but into the home, the apartment of those watching the automobile that is driving down the road listening. Let that river flow to all that are thirsty. Everyone standing, everyone standing. I want every one of you in this building that you know you're born again, but you've not yet been baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. I want you to step out and line up around this octagon, side by side, shoulder to shoulder, looking at me. Come on, right now, as they begin to sing.
Oh, yes, the prophet.
Come on, pastors.
Gave the promise.
Oh, hallelujah. Come on, line up side by side.
The Spirit will descend. And from your innermost being.
Oh, hallelujah. Come on, come on. Quickly, quickly.
A river will know.
Now give me a spirit-filled believer, a man to come stand behind a man, a woman to come stand behind a woman. Come on right now. Quickly, come, come. Women, come stand behind a woman. Men, come stand behind a man. Come on.
Well, there is a vast supply.
There is a river. I need a couple more ladies over here. Just sing it one more time. Lift your voices and sing it right now.
Thank God, will there.
There is a fountain.
There is a fountain that frees the soul from sin.
Come to the water.
Come to these waters.
Your hands, every one of you that's come to receive. When we lift our hands, it's a sign of surrender and submission to the Lord. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask the Lord to pour out His Spirit. When I get through praying, we're going to lay hands on you, and we're going to lay hands on you speaking in other tongues. I want you to pray this little simple prayer that is a declaration of faith when we lay hands on you. Not before, but when we lay hands on you. I just simply want you to say, Father, in the name of Jesus, by faith, I receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Then you'll begin to feel and sense that utterance flowing in you. It's going to start moving up to your vocal cords. By faith, open your mouth, yield your tongue, and begin to speak what you sense and what you feel. Now lift those hands out. Those of you in the audience, when we start laying hands on them, I want you to start worshiping the Lord in your prayer language. And we're going to fill up this house with the glory of the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, every man, every woman, every young person that stands before me and those that are watching and listening, I'm asking, Lord, that you would pour out your Spirit upon them just as you poured it out on the day of Pentecost. And we say it right now, by faith, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now lay hands on them right now. Lay hands on them.
Holy Spirit, move on.
baptized. Open your mouth. Yield that tongue. Right there. That's it, right there. Hallelujah. With stammering lips and others. That's it, right there. Yield it. That's it. You just got baptized. That's it, right there. You just got filled. You just got filled, sister. Hallelujah. Right there, right there, right there. Hallelujah. That's it, brother. You got it. You in the audience, let him refill you in the Holy Spirit. Lift up those hands and tell him, Lord, I want a fresh outpouring. I want a fresh infilling. Let him refill you. That's it right there. You just got baptized.
Oh, welcome.
Oh,
welcome.
Worship him, praise him.
Oh,
right there by television, by radio, by the internet. Stretch forth those hands. Let his spirit be poured out on you. Open your mouth. Yield that tongue by faith. Hallelujah. With stammering lips and other. That's it right there.
Thank you for listening to this podcast presentation from the Sun Life Radio Network. This podcast is made possible by the generous support of people like you. To contribute to this work, please visit www.jsm.org or call 1-800-288-8350.